Thing to do with providing, protecting, or mating, and Manning turned into a caveman. I loved how turned on it made him, but it also shone light on a truth I wasn't sure I was ready to face. Manning would not accept anything less than a biological baby. What if I couldn't give him that? What if I couldn't give myself that? I wanted to raise Manning's boy into the man his father was, or teach my little girl that she deserved to be treated with all the love and respect her father gave her. As we rounded the side of the house, we were met with a chorus of suggestive oohs and ahs that made me blush. Normally, presumptions or interest in our sex life from anyone would bother Manning, but he just rolled his eyes and hugged me closer. He'd been in great spirits all weekend. I had to shake this feeling of what if, or I was going to cast a storm cloud over one of the best days of my life. Kara, Henry's daughter, stood near a picnic table swinging her newborn side to side in rhythm with the black-eyed peas. Her hair was coming loose from its bun, brown strands framing her face. Blue lay at her feet, her ears up as she watched the crowd.
Lake wanted to meet the baby, Manning said to Kara as we approached.
Kara smiled. She's asleep now, but it's okay. She's cuter that way. I peered at the rosy-cheeked little girl. I'm glad you and your husband could make it, I told Kara. Us too. I'd wake her up for you, but she'd make a scene. I haven't stopped rocking her since we got out of the car. Did you get to eat at least? I asked. A few bites here and there. We'll have to get you some food. I squatted to pet Blue. I hope the dog wasn't bothering you. Not at all. She's playing lookout. Kara bounced as she spoke, pausing to blow a piece of hair out of her eyes. Our dog does the same thing. When there are people around, she stands near the baby. What kind of dog? I asked. Lab mix. We got her from the pound a few years ago and weren't sure how she'd do with a baby, but she's been very protective. They're great with kids. I help our local shelter place animals, and labs are always the first request by young families. Kara stretched her neck. They're easy, and that's the best you can hope for with a newborn in the house.
Why don't you let me take over? Manning suggested to Kara, gesturing for the baby. You look exhausted. Take a break.
Her mouth dropped open.
Are you sure? It's not as easy as it looks, trying to keep her moving without waking her.
I stood, smoothing out my dress. He'll be fine. I can take you to get some food. You two are angels, Kara whispered, stealthily passing Abby to Manning. The newborn looked even smaller and paler in his arms, her pink bow and smooth skin soft against his bronzed forearms. Thank you. He hardly looked up from the little girl as he murmured,
No problem.
It was possible that the last baby Manning had held was Madison, yet he cradled Kara's daughter with ease, swaying her side to side. He seemed to have forgotten we were even standing there, completely enamored by a little girl that wasn't even his own. Kara's daughter was precious, but I doubted I'd feel that same connection Manning obviously did unless she was mine. Then again, I'd never met anyone who loved as deeply as he did. Maybe Manning was enjoying himself, but I had no doubt he'd be forever changed holding his own child. As I was about to turn away, Manning glanced up at me. I read what he didn't say clearly in his eyes. I want one. I quickly switched my attention to Kara. Let's eat, I said to her. Manning had wanted to work the grill tonight, probably because it would have gotten him out of socializing, but with over 50 guests, I'd convinced him to hire a local barbecue restaurant to cater. I took Kara to a buffet table of warming dishes, salad, and a meat station managed by the head chef. Thank you so much for the invitation to stay with you, she said as I handed her a plastic plate. We would have, but with the baby, it was easier to get a hotel. Oh, I understand. I figured with a newborn it might help if we offered. We appreciated it. She served herself salad and passed me the tongs. The ceremony was beautiful. Manning looked so happy during your first dance. He must really love you. Or Aerosmith. I snorted. We'd slow danced to Crazy, probably the worst wedding song in history, but Manning had wanted it. It had been playing on our bus ride to camp in 1993, and Manning had later told me it was one of the first moments he'd realized how deep into trouble he was getting with me. Mostly because, as a man normally in control, he couldn't get himself out of trouble.
Manning's been happy in general lately, I said. I know he's glad you and your dad could be here.
They have a great relationship. I think my dad would have loved to have him as a son-in-law if I'd been older when Manning had started coming around.
As we worked our way toward the meat station, she elbowed me. Good thing I was only 7.
Kara had a warm, non-judgmental smile, the kind that put me instinctively at ease.
I met Manning when I was 16, I confessed. I hadn't said that to many people, and certainly not those I barely knew.
Manning and I were married now, and while our age difference had once seemed like the world, it was now an anecdote of a hard-earned history nobody could take from us.
He wouldn't touch me, but that only made me want him more.
I understand completely. I wasn't going to say, but I definitely had a small crush on him from about 10 to 17, she giggled. He was so handsome and mature and serious. Nothing like the boys I went to school with.
So serious, I agreed.
It made me laugh now to think of how tense Manning must have been when I was around back then.
How do you meet your husband?
Work,
she shrugged, spooning mashed potatoes onto her plate.
Not nearly as exciting as stealing my sister's ex-con husband.
I laughed too hard at that. Exciting is one way of putting it. I introduced Kara to the restaurant's head chef, and he sliced us some steak and pork. The moment she and I stopped talking, I could almost feel Manning's adoration radiating from 30 feet away. Part of me wanted to look back and glean some hope from the sight of him with Abby, and the other part worried it'd be an image that would haunt me more and more with each month my period returned.
What's it like having a newborn in the house? I asked Kara, both out of curiosity and to distract myself.
She half laughed. It's as amazing as everyone says, and about as awful as nobody says. Everything you hear about, lack of sleep, shit everywhere, tension in your marriage, times it by 10.
It sounds like more of an adventure than anything.
It so is. Magical, too. That part you can't really describe.
At the end of the buffet, we each picked a fork and knife from a pile of silverware.
What about you and Manning? She asked. I mean, not to add pressure. I know how annoying it is to get those questions, especially on your wedding day.
Maybe it wasn't just that Kara had an open, trustworthy face, but also that she was one of the few people in attendance who'd shown up for Manning. She'd known him before I had, and she cared about him.
Between you and me, I said, Manning and I are trying. It's soon. But sometimes it feels like we waited our whole lives to get to this day. Life is short. We shouldn't have to wait for the things we want anymore.
That's so romantic, she said, sighing.
We set our plates and silverware on a high-top table to eat.
I can't get over the way he looks at you. It's every girl's dream.
She forked some spinach leaves and grimaced.
I hope I didn't scare you off the baby thing.
No, I said. I mean, I don't know if we really grasp what we're getting ourselves into.
Admittedly, we didn't think it through very hard. I only graduated a few months ago, and I'm about to start work.
Yeah, but there's never really a good time, you know?
She nodded behind me.
I mean, seems like Manning might be thinking it through pretty hard right now.
Thinking it through? As much as I hated to admit it, my dad's words earlier made sense. Now wasn't the best time for a baby. Was Manning having second thoughts, too? I turned, expecting to see Abby bawling in his arms and exasperation on his face. Instead, she slept soundly. His eyes were still glued to her as he held her against his chest. I'd never seen Manning so gentle, so lost. He rarely let his guard down in public or took his eyes off what was happening around him, a side effect of his time in jail. He was a natural at this, probably more so than I would be. Then again, he'd done it before. He'd been old enough when his sister was born to help raise her.
I think it's safe to say he wants one, Kara added.
A lump formed in my throat. He does.
Chapter 11
Kara and I were still standing at a high-top table with our half-finished dinners, watching Manning with her baby, when Val strode over, waving a plastic champagne flute at us.
"Who are we gossiping about?" she asked,
then gasped as her eyes landed on Manning. Look at him! He's in heaven! All right, I said, turning forward again. I could have stood and stared at him the rest of the night, memorizing every breath he held, the way he hunched over the baby, warning others off. That was why I had to look away. Let's not make a spectacle of him. Oh, my God! My mom squealed behind me. Blake, are you seeing this? I saw, Mom, I said as she walked up. I checked over my shoulder, but Manning still hadn't noticed he was drawing an audience. Leave him alone or you might spook him. He's just so sweet, she nudged me. Meant to have a baby of his own in his arms. I turned to Val. She was an easy target, and it probably wasn't fair to take aim, but I'd need big guns to get everyone off this subject. You've been avoiding me lately. Why? My plan worked. Everyone in the group turned to look at Val. What? She asked. How can I be avoiding you while standing in front of you? Normally you're up my butt about everything from my relationship to my job to what I ate for dinner. Lately you've been quiet on all fronts. What's left to say? She asked, motioning around the yard. You have it all figured out. I don't buy it. Where there's no drama, you'll invent it. You do that for a living. Val was always working on some kind of script. She'd recently directed her third short film, and it had been picked up by a couple smaller festivals. I narrowed my eyes at her. It has to be a guy. You're seeing someone, and you don't want me to know about it. She wagged her champagne at me. It could be a woman, according to your sister. Don't change the subject. Leave her alone, honey, Mom said. Maybe it's an ex and they want some privacy. Julian? I asked myself, shaking my head. No, not unless you had a lobotomy. Although, if he moved back from Peru or wherever... Portugal, and no, it's not him. She tugged up her strapless dress as it sagged. It's not anyone. It's not? I asked. Swear on Gus Van Sant? Do you even know who he is? One of the directors you always talk about. Don't make me swear on genius filmmakers, she sighed. I don't want to talk about this tonight. I got the acute feeling we were being watched, so I looked over Val's shoulder. 10 feet away, Corbin ate cake, pretending not to listen. Why are you spying? I asked him. Val looked over her shoulder and muttered what sounded like fuck before she tipped back her head and finished off her champagne. I wasn't, he said, swaggering over in his normal Corbin way, confident but humble, a combination only he could pull off. Just trying to enjoy my cake. Val's jaw dropped. How many slices have you had? Only 3. You had a bag of M&Ms on the way over here. He raised his arms in exasperation. Who are you, the dessert police? She laughed, shoving his arm. If you think you'll be tall and skinny forever, you're in for a rude surprise. Their easy banter wasn't unusual, but what tipped me off was the way Val blushed at Corbin's flirtatious smile. You guys drove up here together? I asked. Her mirth vanished as if she'd just remembered I was standing there. It made the most sense, she said, or more like recited. We both live in L.A., so Corbin picked me up on the way from Malibu. It really would have been silly to drive separately, with gas prices what they are these days. Take it down a notch, Corbin said out of the side of his mouth. Overboard. I narrowed my eyes at them, recalling the way her expression had softened while smiling at Corbin during the ceremony. Are you two sleeping together? Lake, Mom scolded. Are we... What? Val scoffed. Me? And Corbin? Who said that... What makes you think... Though her squirming was a thing to see, and almost too good to put a stop to, I deadpanned, call it a hunch. Her entire face reddened, and Corbin looked at the ground as everyone waited. Even Kara leaned in, seemingly interested in the answer. Corbin, I said. He glanced up. I'd had a few minutes here and there with him throughout the night, but ever the gentleman, Corbin kept excusing himself to give other people more time with me. What are you hiding from me? And you have frosting on your face. He wiped his mouth with the back of one hand as he threw his other arm around me. I'm hiding lots from you.
I elbowed him in the ribs, and he winced.
Christ, Kaplan. I fractured that rib on my board last month. You just set the healing process back another few weeks.
Sorry, I said, grimacing.
It's Sutter now,
came my favorite deep voice from right outside our circle. Corbin, along with the rest of us, turned. Manning had drifted over, still swaying the baby, his eyes trained on Corbin's arm around me.
Right, right, Corbin said. It'll take me a while to see her as anything other than a Kaplan.
Answer the question, I told Corbin, only slightly giddier to uncover the truth than I was to see Manning's reaction to it. Did you and Val have sex?
You need to ease up on the doobies, Corbin said as he mimed sucking on a joint.
Getting high on her wedding day. Val shook her head. So sad. No restraint. Manning had stopped rocking the baby to stare at Corbin and Val, only his eyes moving back and forth.
Sex?
He asked.
You two.
Before I could fill him in, Abby's face scrunched as she raised her fat little arms. Like a ticking time bomb getting ready to blow, she twitched. Manning, I warned, but it was too late. She let out a wail that made everyone jump. His eyes widened as he jump-started into swaying again.
Shh, I'm sorry, he said to Kara. I forgot.
It's not your fault, she said with a small laugh, reaching for the baby. We're overdue for a tantrum. Manning looked so crestfallen as he handed her over, I couldn't help laughing. I'm sure you can have her back once she's fed, I reassured him. My mom touched Kara's back. It's Abby, right? She asked, beaming at the baby.
Is she hungry? Tired? Maybe she needs a diaper change.
All of the above, Kara said.
It's always something.
Let me help.
Mom guided her away as she said, Tiffany was the fussiest little thing.
I turned back as Val tiptoed away. Nice try, I called after her. If you don't cop to whatever the story is, I'm going to make up my own version. Her shoulders slumped. She slowly rotated back around, as if operated by remote control.
Corbin and I did not have sex, Val said loudly, and coughed into her fist. Today.
I blew out a laugh. Liar. Why do you keep this from me? Manning walked around the circle to stand behind me.
Isn't it obvious?
He asked, placing his hands on my shoulders.
Wait, Corbin said to Val. Are we doing this now?
Val put her palm to her forehead.
I guess? Thank God, Corbin said, crossing the circle.
Val jumped back, pointing at him.
Don't you dare pick me up. You know I hate it. If by hate you mean secretly love, then yes, I know.
He wrapped his arms around her waist and spun her.
My boobs are going to pop out of this dress, she said as she wiggled and squealed. Put me down. No. I've had to keep this to myself for too long.
Corbin set her on her feet and puffed out his chest.
Valerie Kristen Jameson is my best friend and my girlfriend, he declared loudly enough for people to look over. If you don't like it, deal with it.
With a dramatic dip, he kissed her. She pretended to push him off but laughed through all of it. I stood there blinking, Manning's hands warming my bare shoulders. I had no idea what to make of it. My two best friends were kissing, and it looked strange and awkward and wrong. I didn't like it. Did I? When Corbin righted her, Val cried, You know I hate PDA, and started to run away. He nabbed her by the waist and brought her back in front of him, hugging her middle.
Get over it. After months and months of torture, I'm displaying my affection publicly tonight.
How did this happen? I blurted. Why? Why didn't you guys tell me?
We didn't tell anyone, Val said. We weren't sure what would happen, if it would go well, or if we'd make it. That's not true, Corbin said. This one wasn't sure. This one didn't want to jinx it. This one didn't want to steal your spotlight.
Can you blame me? She asked, glancing at the ground.
No, but I want the record to show that even though I'm a blind idiot who took too long to realize what was right in front of me, I was on board with this relationship from the first kiss. I went along with your secrets because you're good at the sex.
Oh my God, I said, covering my eyes as a naked and horizontal Corbin and Val flashed across my imagination. Mental images happening. I can't.
This is why I didn't want to tell you, Val said quietly. It's weird.
Lake, Manning murmured in my ear. Why don't you and Val go talk in the house?
I slatted my fingers and peeked at the couple. Corbin grinned ear to ear, but Val looked like she was going to be sick.
I don't want to spoil your day, she said.
Nothing could spoil today for us, Manning said, massaging my neck. Especially not this news.
Well, at least one person in the group didn't think this was strange. Manning must have been over the moon to finally verify that Corbin had an actual love interest who wasn't me.
Fine, but you... I pointed at Corbin. Stay out here. No spying.
Corbin showed us his palms.
All I ever wanted was to eat cake in peace.
Val followed me up the back steps and into the kitchen. She sat at the table as I switched on the overhead light, hiked up my dress, and took the seat across from her.
Let's have it.
Are you mad?
She asked.
Mad?
A host of emotions ran through me. I was confused, weirded out, and somewhere between repulsed and curious. It hadn't really entered my mind to be upset, though. I planted my elbow on the table and my chin in my palm. No, why would I be?
Corbin was in love with you for so long, and you guys had a thing I never understood.
She picked at nothing on the table.
I feel like I should have asked your permission or something, but it happened kind of fast.
You don't need my permission. Who am I? I deflated in my chair with a sigh, running my hands down the lace of my dress. I don't really know how to feel. Just start from the beginning.
It's a short story, but it goes back a long time.
I've always... She laced her hands on the table, then opened one, as if trying to find the words.
I've had a crush on him since high school, she rushed out. I actually noticed him my first day, but as soon as you introduced us, I could see he liked you, so I sort of ignored how I felt.
Jesus, Val, I didn't have feelings for him. I remembered back to that first year in high school when Corbin and I had become friends. I couldn't even really pinpoint why we'd gotten so close, except for his romantic interest in me.
You could have gone out with him, not knowing how he felt about you.
Back then, I'd thought Corbin's crush wasn't a big deal. It had been easier to ignore it than squash it, but that had ended up costing all of us in the end, it seemed.
How long have you been together?
A few months. 6 or 8. She cleared her throat, glancing at the fridge.
Maybe 10.
When I say it happened fast, I mean suddenly we were in it, and the more time that passed, the harder it got to tell you.
My stomach dropped, not because they'd kept it a secret, but because Val and Corbin were only finding each other now, after over a decade and a half of knowing each other. Could they have been together all this time? Was it my fault they hadn't been?
Why not years ago when I moved in with Manning? I asked. Why not in college?
So many reasons. She lifted her bare shoulder. Mostly after everything you'd been through with Tiffany. I didn't want you to feel like I was betraying you by going after Corbin. So I kept it to myself.
I wouldn't have thought that. It had been so long since I'd had any inkling of interest in Corbin. But I had to admit at one time I'd wanted to love him. I'd wanted to forget Manning and take the easy way out with Corbin.
Would I have been upset if he and Val had fallen in love while my heart was broken?
I couldn't know for sure, and Val knew me as well as anyone, so maybe she was right.
I'm sorry, I said.
Don't be. It didn't matter anyway.
She bent to remove one of her heels, massaging her foot.
It was so obvious he still had feelings for you.
But if you'd spoken up, he would have realized sooner.
I don't think so.
Back then, I wished he'd see me. You know, really see me. But looking back, it wasn't our time. He needed to get you out of his system.
She smirked as she replaced her shoe.
You, then lots of other girls.
Manning entered the kitchen and set 2 coffee mugs and a pitcher of creamer in front of us.
I wasn't sure how you'd take it,
he told Val, handing me some sugar packets from his pocket and leaving the rest on the table.
Thank you, she said, ripping one open. This wedding crap is exhausting. You read my mind.
He's good at that. My face warmed as I remembered his earlier comment about drinking coffee to prepare for our night ahead. He winked.
Yep, definitely a mind reader.
Drink up, wife,
he ordered. I really love the wedding arch, Val said, balling up an empty packet. Did you make it?
With help from Charles.
Manning turned to leave.
Let me know if you girls need a refill.
How about the food? She asked. Was it your idea? He paused, looking back.
What?
Manning planned almost everything, I said. Barbecue was his idea. I picked the color scheme, and he designed the ceremony and reception. He made all the arrangements for our honeymoon to the south of France, too.
Wow! You're a machine, Manning.
A machine in love, he agreed.
Ah, Val shifted in her seat, adjusting the top of her dress. I'm sorry I ever, you know, doubted you.
I'm not, he said.
You were looking out for her when nobody else was.
Except Corbin, Val straightened in her seat. He was always good to her. I feel like you should acknowledge that. Manning's eyes dropped to mine. Corbin had no longer become a touchy subject between us, but that didn't mean Manning had completely conquered those feelings of jealousy. He wasn't about to concede in that department.
He knows, I answered for him.
You and I have spent enough time together now, she told Manning, but I think a small part of me always worried you'd hurt her again.
I won't, he said simply.
Then I guess I can relax. He turned to face her.
Are we good?
Val knew all of Manning's and my darkest secrets. She'd been there for most of our relationship, an ear to listen and a shoulder to cry on every time he'd devastated me. But they'd each wanted the same thing from me from the start, happiness. There was no denying I'd found it, and no more reason to fight.
Just don't give Corbin a hard time.
Manning showed her his palms.
He keeps his hands to himself, and there's no problem.
She grinned. I'll make sure his hands are on me at all times. He nodded at me.
Need anything?
I'm fine. I won't be long. Once he'd pushed out of the screen door and disappeared down the steps, I said, You have no idea how happy you've made him with this news.
He doesn't still get jealous over Corbin, does he?
No, not truly, I grinned. But he gets his hackles up when they're in the same vicinity.
Dogs, she said, shaking her head. All of them. They're literally reduced to their animal instincts.
Val had no idea how true that was for Manning, and how much I relished his primal behavior, or that I planned to encourage it tonight. I shivered, trying to mentally cool down so I could focus on the conversation at hand.
What were we talking about?
Nothing. We should probably leave things for now, she stood. We can get into more detail another time. At the thought of her ending the story of her and Corbin already, before we'd gotten to any of the juicy details, I was suddenly ravenous for more. Lots more. I must have been pretty okay with it after all.
Where are you going? I cried.
Nowhere, she said, grabbing a dish towel from the oven handle. She held it out to me.
You're making me nervous as fuck with that coffee.
I glanced down. I'd completely forgotten I was wearing cream, but fortunately I'd avoided disaster so far. I took the towel and tucked it into the neckline of my dress, smoothing it down to my lap.
Better?
Much. Then sit, I demanded.
We don't have to talk about this today. You should be out there with your guests.
If you don't tell me everything right now, I'll be forced to torture you. She leaned her hands on the back of the chair, leveling me with a look.
You're a vet, Lake. You wouldn't harm a fly.
I'm not talking about physical pain, I smiled sweetly. I'll just describe all the ways Manning and I plan to consummate our marriage.
Oh, my God. Gross, she said, covering her ears. Fine, I'll talk.
I laughed, sipping my coffee.
So did Corbin have any idea how you felt?
None. She plopped back into the dining chair.
In New York, I thought Julian was the one, and that I'd moved on from Corbin, but the thing was, he was always there when Julian was a dick. It made my feelings for him really confusing.
And let me guess, Corbin never even suspected.
He lives in his own world, she said, and we each bobbed our heads in agreement. He was too concerned with what you were doing, and all his side ass. But when everything went down with the Twin Towers, I sucked in a breath. Val had been a different person after the terrorist attacks. The news had turned her into a complete mess. Was that the real reason you left New York? It was awful, Lake. You know, you were there. Forget the fact that it felt like a personal attack on a city we loved. When I realized Corbin could have been there, could have died on some random Tuesday, it terrified me. The tip of her nose reddened. She stood and went to a drawer, most likely to hide that she was getting emotional. My feelings for him terrified me, she said with her back to me. I had to face the fact we'd never be together, and I needed to move on. So I left. I twisted in my seat, following her with my eyes. And then he moved to Los Angeles, too. Yes, but by the time Corbin bought his place in Malibu, I'd given up hope on us. Not that I ever really had any. She picked out a spoon and turned to lean against the counter. He had girlfriends. I was busy with work. I stopped pining for him. Out back, someone raised the volume on what sounded like Justin Timberlake. The bass rattled me while I waited. Until, I prompted. I went over to his house to surf one weekend. Surfing together wasn't unusual, except that we usually met at my place or the beach. And you know I hung out at his house a lot, but for some reason we'd never surfed there. I passed over her coffee mug when she reached for it. Anyway, we were on his front deck in the early morning, checking the waves and putting on sunscreen. He sort of stopped and asked why I was still single. Ha! As if he hadn't been by your side through all of it. What did you say? I made some joke, like, I don't know, you tell me. You know me as well as I know myself. Aw. It was so true, though. I was annoyed I hadn't figured them out years ago. She straightened her back, imitating Corbin's sometimes unfair amount of confidence. He was like, yeah, I do, so what about you and me? He wanted to know if I'd ever thought about him that way. Ugh, I rolled my eyes. Guys have it so easy. That's exactly what I was thinking, she exclaimed. As if I hadn't wondered about us 1,000 times over the years. She stirred her coffee and tapped the spoon against the rim. Later, he told me seeing me in his house, how comfortable I was there with him, swapping my surfboard for one of his without asking permission. It had fallen into some vision of the life he'd been trying to find with other girls. Her eyes softened as she looked past me. Like I belonged there. I covered my heart. Someone to go out on the water with. I guess. Oh, and get this. She lowered her voice, smiling with a hint of mischief. I was half-dressed in my wetsuit, so I had my bikini top on. I adjusted the string to see if he'd look, and he did. Finally, something in his eyes changed, like he was seeing me for the first time. Val shuddered as I got goosebumps. I mean, you're super sexy, I said. So of course he'd noticed that, like, eons ago. He says so. But until that day, it had always been in a brotherly way. Weirdo. She laughed. I mean, he'd never ogled my tits that way before, so there's that. $50 says he did, you just never noticed. I warmed my hand on my mug. So what did you say to all that? I was honest with him. She set the stirring spoon in the sink and took a quick sip. My heart started beating so hard, I could barely hear what I was saying, but I didn't want to lie. I admitted I'd had a crush on him up until recently. How did he react? He wanted to know why I'd never told him. Well, duh, he'd never asked. He should have realized, I said. But then again, I didn't. You're good at hiding it. Too good. It's all that time I've spent on set, she said, pointing at me. I'm becoming one of you actor pod people. Hey, I got out of that black hole somehow. I'm not an actress anymore. I gestured to hurry her along. But quit trying to change the subject. What happened next? I tried to play off my crush like it was no big deal. Her posture wilted. You guys are so fucking important to me. My feelings weren't worth risking your friendship or his. She scratched her calf with her shoe. So I picked up the surfboard thinking we could forget the whole thing, but he took it from me and set it aside. He could tell I was lying and that it wasn't nothing. I was nearly falling out of my seat.
And then?
He asked if he could kiss me. At first I said no. I didn't want to go back down that path. So I went with the easiest, most hurtful excuse I could think of. I grimaced because I had a feeling that excuse had to do with me.
What did you say?
That it would never work between us because he loved you and probably still did. She straightened back up. I wasn't going to be anyone's consolation prize.
He didn't have any feelings for me at that point, I said.
If you'd asked me, I would have told you.
He said the same. He still says it. It was a problem for us in the beginning, she admitted. Sometimes it still is. It's hard for me to forget years and years of watching him pine for you.
I understand that better than anyone, I said, setting aside my coffee to stand. I leaned a knee on the seat of my chair, addressing her so she knew I meant what I was saying. Corbin and I had plenty of time and chances to try to make it work. We never did, and that means something.
I know, she said. I'm getting over it, mostly because he tells me every day how much he loves and appreciates me.
He says he loves you? I asked, clasping my hands. Oh my God! Her face was uncharacteristically red as she said,
I can't take you seriously with that bib on.
I swiped the towel from my dress and tossed it on the table.
Did you reciprocate? Tell me you've said it back to him.
I could have right there on the deck. You know how charming he is. She sounded annoyed, but then she smiled. He got his kiss, and I was in love with him all over again. But I couldn't tell him. It took me a lot longer to get over the fear that he'd leave once I said I loved him. But I eventually did, and he's still here.
For not knowing how I felt about this a few minutes ago, I could barely contain my excitement now.
I'm ecstatic! Filled with awe, I sat back against the table's edge. I'm embarrassed I never saw it, and that I wasn't there for you, but I am now.
I've been worried about what our friends would say. Mostly you, obviously.
You want to know what I think? I gestured to the backyard. I'll go get the officiant right now. We can make this a double wedding like you wouldn't believe.
She laughed loudly. Oh no, I'm not the marrying kind. I rolled my eyes. She'd said that before, but I'd assumed she just hadn't met the right guy.
You're telling me Corbin's okay with no wedding?
Yep. She yawned, clearly in no rush to get down the aisle. Or was it a show? With Val, I could never be sure.
We're doing our thing for now.
But think of how much fun we'd have sharing an anniversary. I picked up my mug, smiling over the rim as I took a sip.
I'd invite you on my honeymoon, too, but I'm pretty sure Manning would kill one of us.
She came over, put my coffee down, and hugged me. Thanks for being supportive. I swear I never wanted you to find out today.
Oh, I need it on this,
I heard Corbin say a moment before wrapping his long arms around the pair of us.
Are we all good? Val is 75% moved into my place, but she wouldn't take the final plunge without you knowing.
I pulled back to look at them.
Are you kidding? Manning and I will help you move in. His truck is a monster. I'll bet we can fit the rest of Val's apartment in one trip.
I can leave the rest behind, she said, blinking up at him. Corbin's house already feels like... He rubbed her back.
Like what, babe?
Home, I guess. I looked around my kitchen. I knew that exact feeling. I had also walked into this home and known it was mine. Since then, it had never, not once, felt like anything other than where I belonged. Tonight hadn't only been a happily ever after for Manning and me. Val, Corbin, and even Tiffany had each found one, too. From watching the sky move with Manning to telling him forever was too short an amount of time to spend with him, the day had been perfect. And it should have been enough. All of this should have been enough. But deep down, I worried it wasn't.
Chapter 12. The reception ended just before midnight. My dad had fallen asleep in our living room recliner, so my family was the last to leave. After sleeping apart from Manning the night before, and a full day of being surrounded by company,
I was ready for alone time with my husband. It was the only thing keeping me from insisting my family stay in the guest room rather than the hotel Manning had arranged. That, and I was pretty sure Manning would annul the wedding if I interfered with his impending plans for me in any way. After I'd spent a few minutes out front recapping the night with my mom and sister, I said goodnight and went to find Manning. He sat facing the wrong way at an empty picnic table out back, with a cigar in hand and an exhausted Blue sleeping at his feet. Except for the fact that we were alone, and even the caterers had left, the party could have still been going. White light bulbs crisscrossed over the dance floor we'd rented, plastic plates with cake residue dotted the tables, and a mixed CD played on the speakers, though the volume had been lowered to soft background music. "I thought you'd be picking up," I said, as I blew out the remaining lit votive candles we'd arranged down the center of each table. He rested an ankle over one knee.
"I put the cake and leftovers away. The rest can wait until tomorrow."
I continued stacking dessert plates where he'd left off. "I don't think you've ever gone to bed while the house is messy," I winked at him. "No matter how hard I've tried to tempt you away."
"Tempt me?"
He kept his eyes on me.
"Maybe tonight's your lucky night."
I dumped the dirty plates in a hefty trash bag and started nesting name cards. "I don't think it could get any luckier." After a pull from his cigar, he nodded at me.
"Leave that stuff, Lake."
I paused. "I should at least take the presents in."
"Nah, come here."
"We won't have a lot of time to clean tomorrow. Our flight leaves in the evening, and it'll take us at least..."
"I'll pay the dog sitter extra to take care of it. Just come over here."
Slowly, I zigzagged through the tables toward him. His impatience visibly grew the closer I got. Blue groaned and twitched. "Did you walk her tonight?" I asked.
"Yep."
"Food?"
"Between the first dance and the cake."
I mock gasped. "What a good husband." I stepped over Blue as Manning opened his knees for me to stand between them. He ran a hand up the back of my thigh.
"When can you wear this dress again?"
"Never," I said. "This was it." He squeezed my backside.
"Too bad."
"You'll have plenty of time to get tired of it once I hang our wedding photos."
"Not possible."
He flexed his hand around the outside of my hip, pressing his thumb close to my pubic bone.
"I'm not ready for you to take it off for good," he said,
his voice turning gravelly.
"But it's also all I can think about."
"Me too." I wrapped my hand around his forearm as butterflies erupted in my tummy. "Maybe we should leave this mess for tomorrow."
"No maybe about it."
He put out his cigar and stood, towering over me, challenging me with his height, his hungry eyes.
"Definitely."
He slipped an arm around my waist and took my hand to sway to "Wonderful Tonight." Blue looked up at us.
"We're going to dance a few moments," Manning said. "Then I'm carrying you inside."
"You don't need to," I said. "I'll go willingly."
"That's what the groom does at the end of the night."
I already entered the house as a married woman. A few times, actually. One of the perils of having the ceremony in your backyard. He grunted.
"You haven't been in the bedroom, have you? I'll take you straight to our bed."
"No," I half smiled, blushing as I teased him. "What does the groom do in the bedroom?"
"The rest's not suitable for Blue's innocent ears."
Manning bent, scooped me up into his arms, and walked us up the steps to the house.
"Any last requests before we lock ourselves in for the night?"
Arms loosely wrapped around his neck, I closed one eye as I thought it over. "We should probably get water," I said.
"Hydration. Good call. Did you get enough to eat tonight?"
"Between pork, potatoes, and wedding cake, I'd say so."
"We'll bring snacks, just in case."
He paused at the back door.
"Ready to cross the threshold?"
"Do I have a choice?"
"No," he said. "Not according to the Romans."
Blue zoomed ahead of us, clattering through her dog door. "What do the Romans have to do with it?" I asked.
"There are two reasons the groom carries the bride."
He readjusted me in his arms.
"One is that evil spirits might try to get you through the floor. In my arms, you're protected."
"Aw," I patted his chest. "How sweet. What's the other reason?"
"Back in the day, brides were supposed to act distraught about being married off.
Basically, he lowered his forehead to mine.
I'm dragging my unwilling bride into my home.
My stomach clenched with the dip in his voice, his breath near my mouth. I don't think anyone can argue I wasn't willing, I said.
Knowing all that, would you rather walk in yourself?
I got the sense Manning wanted to see this through. On a regular day, there was no place I'd rather be than in his arms. It was only more true of our wedding night. Slowly, I shook my head. Holding each other's gaze, Manning stooped to jiggle the door open. As he walked us through, my skin tingled, my nipples hardening with anticipation for our night ahead.
Feel any different?
He asked on the way to the kitchen. A little.
Me too.
He set me down on the counter.
Stay there, he said. Evil spirits might still be lingering.
He moved around the kitchen, grabbing water bottles from the fridge, a box of Wheat Thins, and a bag of chocolate chips.
This should do it, he said. Now we go to the bedroom. But this time, I want your legs around me.
That's going to be tough in this dress, I said.
I can help with that.
He put the food and water down and squatted at my feet. He took his time removing my boots, dropping them on the ground. As he ran a hand up the outside of my calf, he pushed my dress up with it.
My only regret today is that I didn't get to shave your legs this morning. Spending the night apart was a terrible idea.
As he touched me, I leaned back onto my hands and closed my eyes, only partially aware of what he was saying. I love you, I said.
I know you do, my good girl.
He moved my dress up higher and kissed the inside of one knee, sliding his palms and the fabric up my thighs.
You're the sweetest of everything, he said. Better than cake or pie or even cotton candy.
I doubt that, I said, sighing.
Then you should taste yourself.
I had tasted myself, at Manning's demand, several times. I shivered at the memory of his fingers in my mouth as his hands inched higher, inviting the night air against my skin. You're going to torture me tonight, aren't you? I asked.
I'm going to do everything one man can between sundown and sunrise, he said. And I'm going to enjoy every moment of it.
Are we starting here?
No. We start in our bedroom.
He stood, bunching my dress up around my hips to free my legs. I wrapped them around his waist, sliding up until I felt him hard and long through his pants.
Get the water.
I picked up a bottle in each hand, wrapped my arms around his neck, and held on. Manning gathered the rest of the food and walked us down the hall to our room. I shifted against his crotch, warming myself up. You know, I said, pulling myself more tightly against him. You should be extra turned on right now.
I doubt that's possible.
I kissed his cheek, murmuring, You're protecting, providing, and mating me all at once. Keeping the evil spirits away, bringing snacks you foraged from the kitchen,
And?
The mating part.
The best part.
He reached our door, which we'd closed off and locked in case any guests had come into the house.
Fuck.
What?
My hands are full, and the key's in my shed.
Why? He dropped the food on the ground.
I didn't want to carry it in my pocket all night.
With my back to the door, I only heard the knob wiggle. What are you doing?
Breaking it.
Manning, I sighed with exasperation. You can't go around breaking locks all the time.
This one's extra strong, too, he said proudly. Installed by the best. Yours truly.
So let's go find the key. His bicep flexed against my ribs with the effort.
I can get it.
You'll splinter the whole thing.
Then I'll fix it.
With a snap, I looked over my shoulder as the door swung open.
There we go.
The food.
I'll go back for it.
But Blue might get into it.
That mutt,
he griped, nudging the crackers and chocolate into the room with his boot before kicking the door closed. We had to shut it to get alone time, or Blue would interrupt us. We knew from experience. Manning pushed my back up against the nearest wall.
I want to fuck you in your wedding dress, Lake.
His mouth was suddenly hot on my neck, his hands squeezing my ass.
Will you let me fuck you in your wedding dress?
I let my head fall back, giving him better access to my throat.
I have special lingerie for you.
And I want to see that, too. I want to taste you everywhere tonight. I want to be wearing your scent like cologne by dawn. But the first time as a married couple, I want your dress on.
I dropped the water bottles. They thudded heavily on the wood floor, rolling under the bed. I answered him by undoing his belt buckle. Only if you leave your suit on, too. He held me up by my waist so I could get his zipper down. My mouth watered at the sight of his beautiful cock against the fine fabric of his suit, at his urgency to spoil my cream bridal dress bunched between us. I lined him up against me, sliding his head through my wetness. You told me once you wanted to blemish me, ruin me. Now's your chance.
Careful, or I'm going to rip right through your dress.
The way you did my innocence? I asked in his ear. He pushed me harder up against the wall but didn't enter me.
All I did was claim you. But you were already mine, weren't you, Bertie?
He started to press inside me, stealing my breath as he made me wait. Yes, I said, looking up at the ceiling.
Now it's official. Now you're mine to lick and suck and fuck. Anywhere, anytime.
I pushed down onto him, but he slowed me by holding my hips. Please, Manning.
Lake.
I took my eyes from the ceiling to look at him. Please.
Tell me you're with me, he said. That you understand what this is, right here. What it means to me.
I breathed through my mouth, my mind racing to keep up. Manning going crazy enough for the both of us, deciding when and how to fuck me, talking me into a frenzy. None of that was new. The difference tonight was that I'd stood in front of everyone we knew and made him mine. You and I are official, I said to him. You're my husband.
You're my wife. Now tell me what you want.
I want to be claimed and consumed and made love to by my husband. First against the wall because he can't wait. Then on the bed he built us. Our bed. He thrust halfway in. I arched my back, keeping my eyes on his because he would have demanded it anyway. I want us to be married in every sense of the word, I continued.
Fuck, Leg,
he nearly begged, gripping my hips. He was so big that it always took time and patience neither of us had.
I can't believe, after all these years, I haven't fucked you right open.
I bit my lip, groaning as I urged him deeper, my heels digging into his ass. You fuck me open every time. Manning plunged the rest of the way in. I held onto his shoulders as he took me, his hot, urgent mouth on mine. His powerful thrusts and skilled fingers brought me to the edge as his lips wandered down my neck. But it was catching sight of us in the floor-length mirror, the groom in his suit, fucking his willing bride in her dress, that brought me to climax. Manning saw me through my orgasm, then carried me to our bed. He laid me on my back, standing between my legs with determination in his eyes. Still inside me, he slowly rocked his hips back and forth. He hadn't come, and he didn't want to. Not yet. We had a long night ahead of us. That didn't mean I wouldn't try to get him to. I took his tie with both hands, sliding it through one fist and then the other. How do you want to come, Bear? I panted. In my mouth? My ass? His eyes darkened.
I've never come in your ass. And you look far too sweet. And I'm far too eager to start tonight.
When did any of that stop you before?
You want to play? He asked. Flip over.
My bravado came from tying the knot, plain and simple. I felt empowered being Manning's wife. But the truth was, we hadn't yet ventured into that territory, even though I knew from some of Manning's heat-of-the-moment dirty talk that he was into it. I'd always figured that day would come, and though Manning had claimed me for real today and was about as turned on as I'd ever seen him, I wasn't sure our wedding night was the right time for this.
What's wrong, Goldilocks?
He asked, sliding his hands up my thighs and under my dress as he peeled down my thong.
Suddenly scared you wandered into the wrong bear's house.
I shivered, my nipples hardening into firm pink peaks. I don't know if I'm ready for...
For?
Anal.
He grinned devilishly, tossing aside my panties.
You're not, but get on all fours anyway.
I didn't need to ask myself if I trusted him. If he said we wouldn't do it tonight, I believed him. But what did he have planned then?
As Manning removed his boots, I got on my hands and knees, turning away from him.
Why am I in this position?
Why do you think?
I heard him whip his belt from its loops, then the rustle of his clothing.
Hike that dress up, Lake.
The belt didn't scare me. He'd sometimes spank me in the heat of the moment, but with his father's history of violence, he'd never hit me. That much I knew. I pulled my dress up over my backside. Manning had seen me in every position, from every angle, and maybe that was why the wedding dress excited us both. It reintroduced a layer of innocence to our sex life that we'd stripped away years ago. He ran his palm over my ass cheek, then gently slapped it. What was that for? I asked, already breathless.
Allowing someone to play Justin Timberlake at our wedding.
I started to laugh as I looked back at him, but paused. There was nothing funny about the 6'5" of muscular, buck-naked man about to devour me. I bit my bottom lip as he thumbed my folds apart.
We need a taller bed, he said.
Why?
So I can eat you standing up.
He got to his knees, and since his Lake special was still a little too high for him, he urged my knees apart until I was spread and even with his mouth.
That uncomfortable?
He asked. A little.
Then I better be quick.
He licked from my clit to my asshole, humming with satisfaction. Within seconds, his tongue was buried inside me. I dropped my cheek to the bedspread, grabbing the fabric in two fists. Pleasure tingled up my spine, my face burning hotter and hotter. Manning splayed his fingers on my lower back and pressed the wet tip of his thumb to my asshole.
This okay?
He asked. Yes, I said, partly curious, but mostly too aroused to let him stop. He breached the tight opening. His hand was so large, his fingers felt as if they spanned halfway up my back. I wanted his mouth on me again, so I backed onto his hand.
Fuck me, Lake. I could finish myself off just watching you from this angle.
Make me come, I begged. However you want. With the slightest pressure, he pushed his thumb inside me, that forbidden spot accepting him easier than I would have thought. The snug fit, the rawness of our wedding night excitement driving us forward, and his tongue back on me as his thumb pumped in and out would have normally been enough to make me climax. But right then, I needed more. Manning?
Yeah, Birdie,
he said between my legs, his deep voice vibrating through me. There's something else I want.
Tell me.
I got back up on my arms. I want to make you feel good, too.
You already do.
He kissed me right on the pussy, tonguing my clit.
So good.
I took a breath. He had already gone caveman on me, but I was ready to bring him to his knees for what I hoped would be the first time over the course of the night. I bit my lip, looking back at him. Maybe it wasn't fair to tease him, but times like this, he made it so easy. I want...
What?
He arched a dark eyebrow at me.
Can't read your mind, Lake.
I want you to come so deep inside me. There's no chance I won't get pregnant. That did it. His jaw ticked as he set his once hungry, now voracious eyes on me. Drawing his thumb out, he stood. I got up on my knees, holding his gaze as I unzipped the back of my dress and tugged it over my head. He took one look at my spotless white lace corset and swallowed.
I was the first to claim your virgin cunt, Lake. Remember?
I shuddered before lying back in a show of submission. I nodded breathlessly, even though the answer was absurdly obvious. You claimed more of me that morning than any other man could in a lifetime. He grabbed me under the knees and yanked me to the edge of the bed.
Don't talk about other men when I'm in this state,
he warned.
You gave me your heart first, then your body, didn't you, sweet girl? Nobody else got anything.
I shook my head on the mattress, my body vibrating with an intense need only he could fill. Make it official, Great Bear,
I said, echoing my demand for a kiss at the altar.